Welcome to Fresh Fire's weekly podcast.
We are in an interesting time at Fresh Fire. As you know, we are out. I think we're barely legal in this building in terms of numbers. So we are really, really active in the search for a new building. We've hit some roadblocks that I could encourage you all to pray into. Any obstacles in the way in terms of politics, in terms of favor and all that, or lack of favor, all of those things, if you can be praying for us to get an open door. There's a couple of buildings we've been inquiring about, but every time we're about to move forward, it feels like there's another obstacle that comes in the way. We're not worried about the fact we can't afford a new building. We don't really need the money for it, we just need the building, and we just know God's going to provide and he's going to do it. So that's not our issue. Our issue is we actually need a place to open up for us that receives us. And the challenge is for us that Fresh Fire isn't going to be, certainly this campus isn't just going to be a local campus. It's actually going to be the base for everything that we do internationally. So we've got Adam and Hannah back from Nepal for a season, and they're going to be helping us to get much more of an international sense of what we're doing on a global level, and working together as a team to see how Fresh Fire grows. I want to tell you, I've been traveling, I've been in Nepal, I've been in Bermuda as well, and there is a hunger for Fresh Fire, for this type of church, to spring up everywhere. And so there's lots of opportunities for us to grow, but one of the things I felt that God was saying to us, that we just needed to take the reins and to pull it back a little bit. I'm all for growth, and I'm all for increase, etc. That's the reward of faithful stewardship. And as this team have been faithful over these last 7 years, God's rewarding with the increase. However, what we want is intentional growth, not accidental growth. And I believe that there comes a point on people's lives, and this applies to the church, but it applies to you individually, that when a favor comes upon you, all kinds of opportunities come your way. Am I right? You will find that when a favor rises upon you, suddenly where there was lack and there was no opportunities and no open doors, you get 10 all at the same time. Favor can kill you if you're not living in a sensitivity to what you should be saying yes to and what you should be saying no to. And so we're in this season right now where we're figuring that out. So I'm trying to keep you as up to date as possible with where we're at. And so with Adam and Hannah back, and with other discussions, Nadia is coming back next month. We're going to be really starting to just discuss how our base begins to operate, and the campus here, this church family here, is part of that bigger picture. And so we're going to be keeping you updated on what that looks like, because we're still kind of figuring it out. Remember at conference, Emma Stark said we had an opportunity to either be experts in the old or amateurs in the new, and we're getting used to being amateurs. I think we're pretty expert at being amateurs. So we are moving forward in faith without the full picture of what it looks like. And I want to encourage all of you in your own walk with God to be brave enough to step forward into the things of God, even though you don't know what it looks like as you get round the corner. This is what it really is to live in that element of faith, in which faith knows that something good is on the other side, even though it doesn't often give full clarity to it. Faith trusts. It hopes, it perseveres. And so we have to be a people who if we want to live in this adventure that God's doing corporately with us, but also on an individual level, then we have to embrace the unknown. Any brave people want to say amen? And I'm so excited right now because there's a lot of things in my heart that I feel like we need to be birthing, and I'm excited for transition. Transition is the place of frustration between where you are and where you're going to. Transition is a messy time. It means mistakes are made. It means you're figuring things out. And we want that transition to be as smooth as possible. But transition always precedes change. And I want to just update you with the fact that we as a house are in a transition. We're moving forward. And so there's, as we're changing, sometimes things are a little bit clunky. Sometimes things are a little bit, they work well or they don't work well. Sometimes it's kind of, everything's just falling into place. Sometimes, actually, it looks like things are falling out of place. But in it all, what we need to have for each other is a grace that says, you know what, I'm figuring this out as well. We don't really know what we're doing, so we can afford grace for one another that we can say, do you know what, we know they're conscientious enough to pursue God wholeheartedly, even though they don't know how it's going to work out. I think if we understand that about each other, we actually create a healthy house where it gives permission for everybody to explore the new and make mistakes without fear of any kind of ostracization or anything like that. Just, does that make sense? I'm speaking to some things. I guess what I'm asking is, give us permission to get it wrong in the ways that we're going forward. That's what a real healthy house is all about. I heard Chris Vallotton talking about, Chris Vallotton's one of the leaders at Bethel, and he was talking about how in the tech world, you have two areas in which, say for example, a company like Apple, you have two areas in which the company operates. You have the management, the business side of things, the sales, the marketing, all of that side of things, and you will have a tight budget, and you run it tightly because you want to make sure you guard everything to do with that brand. But then over here, you'll have another area, and it will be the research and design area. Now, in this area, the management, you want to make sure that the money that's there goes to where it needs to go. If you make a mistake there with money, you lose the whole business. Everything goes down. But over here, what they do is they throw masses and masses and masses of money at it and say, go away, play around, explore, see what you come up with. And so you will have guys over here rocking up knowing that they've got to make sure everything's bish, bash, bosh. Over here, you have guys going, what if we created an Apple hoverboard? How do we do it? And they will throw loads of money at it to create. And I believe that's what God is doing with us in the Spirit, is that he's pouring out the Holy Spirit on us in greater ways that we can creatively explore with the fullness of grace without the fear of making errors and making mistakes. You see, we have the iPhone, we have the iPad today because somebody somewhere said, here's a bunch of money, liberally go and spend it how you need to spend it in order to come up with something no one ever came up with. And so I believe there is a permission in the Spirit right now to start exploring new territory for each one of us, to go into new realms of exploration with God, and the Holy Spirit's going to lead us there. But it means going out of the comfort of what we've already known to step into the new. This isn't my message today. I'm just kind of anchoring in, acclimatizing us to where we're at as a house, as a family. And in all that, what God is doing is we've had a surge of growth just in the last 6 months, and it's strategic growth. The God actually adding people in intentionally to accelerate them into gaps that actually start to oil the machine, that we can start running instead of limping. And so if you found yourself here in these last months, you're here for such a time as this. It's not an accident. It doesn't matter how you left the last place to get to here. What matters is you're here for such a time as this, at this appointed time. And I want to encourage you, to those of you who've been here since the beginning, we need grace from you as well, because there were some people who will be here and they've been here 5 minutes and they'll step into something because it's timing. And there'll be some of you have been here for 7 years and you won't be stepping into something yet because it's a timing thing. There's a parable Jesus talked about, wasn't there, about those workers who came and worked in the field, and they got paid the same as those who were there all day. Do you remember that one? There were those that came at 9 in the morning. They got however many denarii or whatever. And then there was some that came at 10 to 5 just before clocking off. And they got paid the same. Remember the discontent everybody had? Well, that's the grace of the kingdom of God. Is that I believe we're in that kind of season where there's those who've just been here 5 minutes start to step up into roles that couldn't have happened had they not come. I don't know why I'm telling you all this. I'm just preparing you, because transition, if you don't know why we're transitioning or what we're transitioning into, then it becomes a really confusing process. And I don't want you to feel discouraged or disheartened if the time for you is not yet. God's doing something in the spirit to prepare a way for you to step into something. Yeah, we're all here. We're not here just to pew fill. Not that we have pews. No one's here for that, right? We're here because we want an adventure in God. Amen? Right, I've got 6 minutes to talk to you about decrees. And I actually think I can do it. All things are possible, right? One of the things I believe God is wanting the church as a whole, not just Fresh Fire, but right around the world, is to start to understand that we have an authority that's given to us by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Jesus said, "All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me, and therefore I send you." And we've been released as an apostolic company of people to bring about a transformation in the earth. So we've been singing this morning, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And as sent ones, you have the responsibility to wherever you go to release the kingdom of God. But for many of us, we like the idea, but we don't know how to do it. I want to put some tools in your hand today, and one of those tools is decrees and declarations. Decrees and declarations. So often, I believe the impotence of the church is all to do with our lack of understanding about how we should respond to situations, things that are clearly opposed to the kingdom. We, as an ambassador of Christ, are sent in as ministers of reconciliation. In other words, our job is that where this... Has that gone? We'll get a new whoa. Okay, the battery's going on this. That's my cue, right? There is a call for us as ministers of reconciliation that where there is no peace, we are the ones to make peace. That where there is estrangement, we're the ones to bring people together. Where there is a lack, we're the ones to bring the supply. In other words, we're to reconcile the things that are at odds with the kingdom of God, with the kingdom of God. We're to ultimately imprint on earth what we see and we know in the heavenly realm. And we do that by way of decrees. In the Hebrew, the word for declaration is akvar, which means to make known, to set forth an accounting. It's often the idea of, you know, when you go through the airport, and you go through customs, do you have anything to declare? In other words, have you got anything to make known to us that you're carrying? So when we come into an environment, we are called to issue a declaration of that which is in the purposes and the mandate of God. We are to make known the things that God has in his heart to do. Okay? Ultimately, declarations are what we speak into an atmosphere. It's making known what we have possession of. So in your home, in your workplaces, in church, wherever you are, wherever the kingdom has the opportunity to express itself, you come in as one, as a minister of reconciliation, to make known the purposes of God in this hour. More often than not, believers do not know what they actually carry. Therefore, they rarely make anything known. We often make known what the issue is, what the problem is, what the offense is, what the blockage is. We're making known a lot of stuff, but we're not making known what God actually wants to do in the environment. What does God want to do in your life? What does God want to do in your life? What does God want to do through you? Do you actually even know? So we need to be ones who actually access revelation and start to make known the things that God is wanting to do. Decrees are a little bit different. Decrees are a tool which cause the truths of the heavenly realms to be manifest in the natural realm so that they become our daily reality. We decree healing when someone is sick. We decree provision and abundance when we're lacking. We decree peace when there is turmoil. A decree is the institution of a court order. It's a statement of truth that carries the authority of the king. I am decreeing in this moment, this shall be, this shall come to pass. Interestingly, in Hebrew, the idea of the decree means to divide, to separate, and to destroy. Think about that. To divide, to separate, and to destroy. When we decree, for example, I am blessed, we're not just saying we're blessed, we establish the blessing while separating ourselves from anything that's purposed against it. And we destroy the plans of the enemy. When we decree, my children are strong and full of integrity, we are actually dividing our children's strength from their weaknesses. We are separating dishonesty and unrighteousness from within their midst and in their hearts. When we decree, my home brims with wealth, this is based on Psalm 1:2, we establish not only wealth, but we destroy the spirit of lack and of poverty. So a decree actually has a positive element in that it ushers something in, but it also divides and separates and removes from you the things that are in opposition to that decree. One of the things that we've, in our immaturity, that we find ourselves doing, we end up decreeing a load of things that we haven't been given the authority to decree. In my early days, my family will tell you, in my early days, I caught hold of the Word Faith message, and I'm a massive, massive believer in the principles of Word Faith. But there was some elements of it that knocked it out of balance. And so I will be, in the name of Jesus, I decree that person will give me a house. I decree this person will give me the Ferrari. I decree overflow in my bank account. And it was all coming from a place of operating word faith, but without the word. You see, a word faith requires a rhema, which is a spoken word that comes from the Lord. What we were doing was operating a logos, scripture thing, and claiming it for our own lives. That's where it went out of kilter, out of balance. But nevertheless, the principle's the same, that when we decree something and it's been given to us by the Lord, we decree a thing, it shall be established. And so what I believe God is actually asking of the church is to give you your power and authority back by starting to use your words effectively, to not go to God about your problem, but start speaking into the environment and saying, in the name of Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, as an ambassador of his kingdom, I stand here this day and I decree it shall be so, that on this day healing shall come, deliverance shall come, breakthrough shall come, prosperity shall come, etc., etc., etc. And in doing the decree, we are separating ourselves from the lies of everything that surrounds that truth, that manifestation. When we decree, we are speaking God's blessing upon our lives. We are instituting the will and the purposes of God. We are separating and destroying the plans of the enemy. And we are imposing a judgment upon the enemy, which he cannot oppose or appeal. Do you realize your words have power? They have authority. Do you realize that when you speak a thing, it gets airborne, it starts to get legs on it? I've been talking with a few people recently just about how even in our conversations, how the angelic realm actually picks up on the conversations. When those conversations are in line with heaven, I believe there are angelic powers that are waiting for you to actually say something that they can actually use. I've noticed over the years, I've made some declarations in conversations, and within months or sometimes even a year or two, the very thing that was said established itself in the natural. So often our talk is earth realm talk. I'm not talking about whether it's carnal or not. I'm talking about it's just earth realm. It's concerned with this realm. What if we actually became more heavenly aware? I hear this phrase a lot, and I can't stand it. Too heavenly minded, no earthly good. Have you heard that one? Our movement, we get criticized by that one a lot. Too heavenly minded, no earthly good. In other words, you've got your head in the clouds, you've actually got no solution for real life. Actually, my head in the cloud is the solution for real life. In the glory cloud, there is a wisdom that passes all earthly understanding. Yes. Amen? And so, if we shift our meditations to a higher level, we will start to find our conversations will be reflecting a heavenly culture. And in that, we start to think differently, view differently, talk differently. And you will see angelic powers go, there it is. He's getting it. Right, let's take this now and run with it, and we'll make this happen. Meanwhile, whilst we're still entertaining our earthly realm meditations, whether good or bad, I'm not going down that line, whether good or bad, angels are sat playing Scrabble or something, I don't know, waiting for someone to get a word that actually has anointing on it, that they can say, this is the will of him who sent us, let's bring it to pass. So decrees and declarations are supernatural. With our words, we have the power to create. With our words, we decree something. With our words is life and death. It's a spiritual, a supernatural element. And if we actually start to plug in with what God wants to do, we will start to see more breakthrough in our situations. This is the challenge, you see. Many of us, we've fallen into the worldly thing of positive thinking. Positive attitude. I'm just not going to dwell on this. I'm not going to dwell on it. I'm just going to think well, think good, etc., etc. And that's kind of half right. Paul says, whatever is lovely, praiseworthy, of good report, whatever is noble and pure, think on these things. But those things are actually, they should be heavenly things. That our meditations be on heaven. Our meditations be on the will and the purposes of God. So that when challenges come as obstacles in our life, we're not living in positive thinking, but we're living in revelation. When we lost our baby, I remember God speaking very clear to me, giving me the bigger picture of what was happening in the spirit, what this was. And this wasn't God failing. This wasn't anything to do with God. This was all to do with an enemy assignment seeking to war against my calling to be a father. And so when I understand that thing, it gives you a faith for the Lord to take you through. So the Lord said to me, you know you're not going to get this healing, don't you? You know you're not going to get this miracle. And I said, yes, Lord, I know. You see, he was revealing to me something of the bigger picture of what's actually going on. This was a win of the enemy. Taking our baby was a win of the enemy. But what I have to see in the bigger picture is that God was revealing tools that would prepare me for the next season, that if anything ever like that happened again, I will be positioned in a place to walk in faith, not in positive thinking. I don't want to hear the report saying, oh, well, you never know. They may have got it wrong. That's positive thinking. No, what is the word of the Lord on the matter? What is the word of the Lord on the matter? You see, the word of the Lord, when it comes, it's a double-edged sword. And it says that it separates soul from spirit. Why is that important? That's written in the context. It's a random scripture in the context of something bigger, which talks about entering the Sabbath rest. Why does he say that? He says, because often we are become dull in hearing. It says, today if you hear God's voice, do not harden your heart. You see, we become dull in hearing when our soul overwhelms our spirit. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. When you get emotional about something, you can't think straight. You can't think straight, you'll never speak straight. And so, the word of the Lord comes as a double-edged sword. Why? To separate soul from spirit. To cut through that thing so that you get clarity on hearing God's voice for the now. You will, if you face the challenges of your life from a soulish perspective, you will speak in a soul realm and you'll never manifest the breakthrough and you'll never decree something that will be established. But if you have the word of the Lord that comes through a revelation by being parked in the cloud, where people say you're no earthly good, you will get a revelation beyond the earth realm which makes you relevant for your situation, and you issue a decree into that moment and you declare a thing and it will be established. Why? Because you're not governed by emotions. You're not governed by your will. You're not governed by the things of self. You are governed by, I just got a word from the Lord. Some of you, I believe, God is eager to bring about your breakthrough more than you are willing to align with it. So often we go into prayer and fasting and intercession when all we need to do is stop and say, okay, God, what are you saying right now in this situation? Still the storms. Remember the guys in the boat where Jesus is sleeping and the storm rages up around and the waves coming over the boat? Everybody gets emotional. They forgot God said, go to the other side. Jesus wakes up from peace and stands, looks at the storm, and he rebukes it. Be still. Quieten down. God's ready to bring a breakthrough, I really believe. For us as a house, here as Fresh Fire, for you individually, in your homes, in your families, that if you actually start to decree a thing, I know there are people here and you're hitting a roadblock in trying to sell your homes. God's calling you to move into your purposes. I'm speaking to you guys today. Some of you know you've hit a wall in your jobs. I'm speaking to you guys today. There is a conversation that needs to happen in the heavenly realms where you decree something and it powers you through. This is for you this morning. If you take the tools, you decree something, it will be established. I believe our prayer gatherings, and we're doing a lot at the moment in terms of conversation around prayer as a house. What do we do with prayer? But I believe one of the things, and the reason why we've got a delay, is there is a need for us to understand again the power and the authority of declarations and decrees. No longer will prayer be, oh God, you've seen our poor Agnes, and you see how neat she is. No, it's none of that. It starts to be, okay, Lord, you have sent me as a herald. You've sent me with a word, and I will decree a thing, and it will be established. You see, we're waiting on God to move constantly. God's waiting on you to actually start to align your thoughts and your words with what he's doing and what he's saying. When you do that, you'll see the breakthrough.